The Vacationland Theme Park Podcast is brought to you by Magical Vacation Planner by Karis for help planning your next vacation getaway to any of the following: Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney and Aulani, Universal Studios Orlando, and Royal Caribbean Princess, Carnival Cruises, and more. Get your free consultation by visiting Magical Vacation Planner by Karis on Facebook or by visiting magicalvacationplanner.com/staff/Karis-Milano. Coming up this week on the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, Knott's Berry Farm announces an opening date for Calico River Rapids, The Secret Life of Pets at Universal Studios Hollywood is not so secret anymore, and a Florida transplant arrives at Disney's California Adventure. Plus, was the reservation system for Disneyland Galaxy's Edge a galactic disaster? And a little bit later on, Brandis and John will give their impressions of this year's Boysenberry Festival, and Dr. David is here to talk about Arizona's Tiki Oasis. And then, at the end of the show, we're finally getting to it. That's right, we are going to draw the name of the winner in our Skipper Stories book giveaway. So, from a galaxy far, far away, but only with a reservation until June, this is the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast. This is the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, episode number 33 for the week of May 8th, 2019. The Vacationland Theme Park Podcast is the podcast dedicated to all the news, reviews, and opinions from Southern California's theme park scene and beyond. My name is Chris Ramirez. I am the executive producer of the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast. And today I am joined by our associate producer, Brandis Strautman. Hello, Brandis.
Hello.
Our Knott's Berry Farm reporter and permanent John Strautman.
Hello.
And former skipper, current author, raconteur, master of ceremonies, author of Skipper Stories and more Skipper Stories. Or is it Skipper Stories 2?
No, more Skipper Stories.
More, I guess, I got it right the first time.
You nailed it.
Welcome, Dr. David Marley. How's it going?
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, welcome, everyone. We are back recording in the studio today, and we kind of missed the last 2 weeks because just life in general happened, and we all got really busy. And so we almost didn't make it today. The OC Marathon is running today, and it's got literally half of Orange County cut in half. So we all managed to make it here. So I'd like to thank you all for joining us. Welcome back, and we are excited to have you listening to the show. Coming up on our YouTube channel, we're going to have a few more exciting videos. Karen and I went to the Seven Seas Food Festival at SeaWorld a couple of weeks ago, and that was really exciting. And then later on, we're going to be talking about some of the videos that are going to be coming up, as well as a live stream broadcast from Galaxy's Edge. But before that, how's everybody doing? Welcome back, guys. And it's a Sunday. It's been a while since we've done this. So glad you guys are here.
It's great. Yeah, it's a beautiful day. It's good to be
here. I'm still recovering from my mistakes last night.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it wasn't that funny, Chris.
So can I say happy anniversary to Brandy and John?
Thank you.
So you guys went out celebrating, and then you're here bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. No, and certainly not bushy-tailed. But you guys are here.
My tail is pretty bushy.
Yeah.
No, John's fine. John wasn't as dumb as me.
So you guys enjoyed yourselves last night. And Dr. David, you were out at Arizona Tiki Oasis.
I was.
How was that? Tell us about that.
It was fantastic.
So how does that compare to the Las Vegas Tiki or the San Diego Tiki Oasis?
San Diego Tiki Oasis. Yeah. This was the very first Arizona Tiki Oasis. So or the very first Tiki Oasis outside of San Diego. And it was a lot of fun. It was much smoother than I figured it was going to be for a first time. But I think it was like, I don't know, I'd ask my wife. It was maybe like 40% of what the regular Tiki Oasis is. So it was much smaller. The alcohol rules in Arizona are very weird. So in San Diego, you can just walk from room to room with booze in your hand, and you go to a session, like a talk, and they give you free drinks, and you leave and walk around the pool with them. In Arizona, there was security guards saying you have to finish that drink before you leave the room.
Being drunk.
Yeah, oh, yeah, pretty much. Yes, yes.
Tiki Oasis in Arizona, in San Diego was just a...
It's a four-day-long festival of awesome. Mm-hmm. And tickets go on sale Monday, whatever that is.
For next year.
For this coming San Diego. Yeah. But there's great. There's talks. There's presentations on how to do different things. And I got to meet Shag, the great artist Shag. I got to meet Jeff Beachbum Berry, who is the guy that found all these old tiki cocktail recipes and collected them and had the most amazing app. I'm not getting paid for this, but he has an app called Total Tiki, and it's $9 for Apple devices. And you list every ingredient you have in your house, and it tells you what drinks you can make based on what you have.
Oh, that's amazing.
And it says, buy these two or three things, and you can add these drinks to that. It's fantastic. fantastic.
That's great.
It is so great.
So I'm going to Seattle and Vancouver in as soon as summer hits. So in late June, I'm going to Seattle and Vancouver, and we're already looking up where the best tiki bars are. I'm also going to New Orleans this summer, and we know that there's a couple of really cool tiki bars in New Orleans.
Latitude 29
is where we're going.
It's owned by Jeff Beach Bumberry, the guy who did the app in the book I just told you about. Super nice guy. We went to his tiki bar almost every night the week we stayed there in New Orleans. It was so much fun.
We like to go to the tiki bars where you can buy the mugs, and so we went to Golden Tiki in Las Vegas. We got a mug from Golden Tiki in Las Vegas, and I'm quickly running out of shelf space between them and Trader Sam's. So Latitude 29 we're going to. There's a really neat new tiki bar up in Vancouver that we're going to. I just love that stuff. So that's very, very good.
So it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
And you were there selling as your Dr. Skipper's Chuckle Hut?
Dr. Skipper. Now it's just Dr. Skipper.
Okay.
Because it's the books and it's the art. It's just all that I've simplified my life. So I was selling stuff. I gave a talk on Jungle Cruise and sold a bunch of my books and a bunch of my art. And I'll be doing it at Tiki Con the beginning of July up in Portland. And then I'll be doing it again at the Big Tiki Oasis in August in San Diego. But it was so much fun. I had a great time. Even though this event in Arizona was a lot smaller. But it was fun. And
Because I know when I think of tiki drinks and tropical destinations, I think Arizona.
It was at the Valley Ho Hotel in downtown Old Town Scottsdale, which is so mid-century 1950s looking. It was perfect. It was a beautiful location. Yeah. It was great.
Cool. Well, thanks for being here, and thanks for sharing that. And you know, we'll if you want to see, I know you put up a lot of great pictures from that event. So what is your Instagram?
My Instagram. I don't know, honey. What's my Instagram? It's Dr. Skipper Marley.
Dr. Skipper Marley.
It's Dr.Skipper.Marley.
Head on over. And then you have an Etsy shop as well?
I do. It's just Dr. Skipper.
And then
just go to Etsy.
And you're working on even more Skipper stories, right?
I'm working on a couple more books. The next one's going to be A History of the Jungle Cruise. It's going to come out next summer before the Jungle Cruise movie. And then a book of cast member stories, where I've interviewed cast members from all around the park and their various adventures and wild stories. That'll come out hopefully December of 2020.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us today. And we're going to move on to Brandis and John. So we were supposed to go out and do a video of the Boysenberry Festival, but just life happened and things got busy. But you guys went. And,
I went so many times.
Yeah, you went quite a few times.
We would need like a whole Boysenberry Festival episode just to cover it all. It was so much better this year. They did really well. And it showed because it was packed every single time I went, no matter what time of day or day of the week I went.
Did you see people there with their oversized strollers and bags of ice?
Nope. I mean, why would you bring a bag of ice when it's your, the whole point is the food, but no oversized strollers. I only had one complaint is the beer and wine tasting was extremely confusing and wrong this year. First of all, like I understand they had issues with people getting drunk before. I get that.
As we've talked about on the show before.
Yeah. So they were really stingy with their pours, which makes sense. What didn't make sense is they now had way more beer than wine, but they still gave you a cheese platter, cheese and fruit.
Okay. I think we did talk about this.
Yeah, did we? Yeah. I thought so. I thought we discussed it. Okay, so we'll skip that and we'll go to the tastings.
Okay. Because that was the thing I was most excited about hearing about and seeing. I just never got out there, which I should because I have an annual pass. But tell us about all the food offerings because it looked like they really expanded their food offerings this year.
Okay. Cannot say enough positive things about their Boysenberry pot roast and mashed potatoes. Like I would kill for that recipe. It was amazing.
Did you try the elote?
We did. That was good. That's always a favorite. The only one that was I didn't like. It was kind of a bit confusing. Was the chili with the boysenberry sourdough bowl. First of all, the bowl
doesn't sound good.
At all. So the bread bowl was very like too soft. Like you need a crusty bread and sourdough is supposed to be crusty.
Yeah.
And it just was too soft. So that didn't work out. It was too soggy and messy. And then the chili itself was too sweet. Chili should not be sweet.
Okay. Yeah. There was a lot of those things that I was looking at that I'm like, that looks interesting, but I was wondering about the the sweetness level of a lot of those offerings that they had at the Boysenberry Festival. So
one other thing to add is I got the Boysenberry Cosmo.
Oh.
And it was $9, but it came from a can.
Did they pour it into a glass?
They did. So they present you with the martini glass, and it's got a lime wedge and a boysenberry, so it looks fancy. But then the whole can doesn't fit in the glass, so they give you the can on the side with the rest of it. And it's just like, why did I pay $9 for this can that you would drink in high school for like $2?
Was it a branded boysenberry Cosmo? Like, was it like... Or was it like a Knott's Berry Farm brand?
It was not even Knott's Berry Farm.
It was just interesting.
I'll put the picture.
That's a bad show right there.
Yeah, I got a picture of it, and I'll put it up on our Facebook page if I remember when I get home.
Yeah.
So you could see the brand. But that right there is just like, why did I pay for this? I was expecting this craft cocktail.
Sure. And it's not like Knott's Berry Farm doesn't have bartenders. I mean, they opened up a bar in the middle of the chicken dinner restaurant. So it's like, okay, you know, I'm sure that they have people that can make those, you know, cocktails by hand, especially if you're having a food festival. But that sounds that's really disappointing. I'm sorry.
And I also want to say that our dining pass, they had a lot of boysenberry offerings for the dining pass. We only got to try a couple of them though, because we were doing the tasting cards. Do like that they still offered something for their pass holders.
What do they offer on the dining pass?
They had a boysenberry pulled pork, a boysenberry salad. We had the boysenberry Western burger. That was really good.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, it was amazing.
What else did? Yeah. Boysenberry sausage with boysenberry spicy. It was great.
The boysenberry sausage. It's the same boysenberry sausage that they've had over the years. It's always really good. They cook it like over and over. I mean, I don't know if they cook it, but they certainly like heat it over a big like wood fire grill, and it's usually pretty solid.
And I am still really happy with their serving sizes for the dining pass. Like, I was worried when we got it that there wouldn't be enough food and it would just be snacks. But when we got the boysenberry Western burger, I couldn't even finish the burger and fries.
Oh, wow. Because I know when you buy the, it is not for annual pass holders, but when you buy the tasting cards at Disneyland, you can use some of your tickets, you know, if you don't want to use them at the booths, you can use some of your tickets at like the Garden Grill, which is where the McDonald's used to be, if you're familiar with DCA, in the back of the Paradise Pier area. But they're not the full dishes. They're just like a snack-sized version of the dish. And if you go watch our – we actually used our last two or three card tasting cards on that. If you go watch the YouTube video, you'll see that like it's – you know, they have the big size dish, and then they have like the little snack size dish that you can get with your cards. I mean, it's enough food, but you know, it's a little small size. So you're saying that they're giving you like almost full portions on your
dining pass. Yeah, it's like it's more than I could eat. And I did like I went. Oh, we did the boysenberry grilled cheese. It was a kid offering that you could get with your dining pass. And so my friend, she had dining pass too. So we took our kids. She had two dining passes. She got that, and then we got the chicken tenders for everyone else. And, like, it was six of us sharing three meals, and it was perfect for all of us. Though none of the kids wanted to try the boysenberry grilled cheese that was meant for the kids, so we ate it. It was good.
Okay. I love grilled cheese. I like boysenberry. I did get a chance to go out and try the boysenberry frozen yogurt. You guys heard about this?
Keeps bugging us to get it.
It's actually really good. It's actually like it tastes like boysenberry. It tastes like you would expect it to. Which I found was like with Yogurtland was kind of a weird. Like Knott's is getting a lot of like publicity. I just watched one of my favorite YouTube channels is Theme Park Expedition. Like they just did a whole. He does things from like all around the world, like theme parks all around the world and their history and kind of like roller coasters from all around the world. He did a 25-minute video on the history of the Roaring Twenties at Knott's Berry Farm. So, it was a really cool video, but they're getting a lot of publicity. And I thought that was a really odd, I don't know if they're just doing it in Southern California or they're doing it nationwide, a really odd cross promotion with Yogurtland and Knott's Berry Farm. I don't know.
Well, because Knott's Berry Farm boysenberry jam is sold throughout the world.
Right.
I know. I lived in Indiana for a year, and I was so shocked to find it at the grocery store there.
Yeah. Well, they Smucker's bought the Knott's Berry Farm jam. So the only place you can get Knott's Berry Farm branded jam anymore is at Knott's Berry Farm. Because for years, when you used to go to the chicken dinner restaurant and the little packets you know, for your toast were Knott's Berry Farm branded packets. But now they're Smucker's branded packets because Smucker's and ConAgra, whoever owns Smucker's, bought the Knott's Berry Farm brand. So they actually don't sell it in stores anymore under Knott's Berry Farm brand. It's all under Smucker's. And if you want something branded Knott's Berry Farm, you have to go to Knott's Berry Farm to get that jam, the jams and jellies from the little store that's outside in the front.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's weird. So
that's
but,
how the man gets you right there. Hmm.
But it, so it sounds like you guys had a good time.
Yeah.
Sounds like you guys had fun.
John, you weren't talking much. I did all the talking. So
well, you see the fun parts were when you were there with Layla. See, when I went, it was so busy. Like the lines for the thing, it was out of control. Like worse than I've ever seen. So for me, that wasn't as fun.
Yeah, there was this one. I don't know if they had a competition there or what, but there was hundreds of unsupervised teenagers just wreaking havoc throughout Knott's.
Yeah, that was on social media a little bit. Were you guys there that day?
Yeah, it was horrible. This one kid tried to fight a guy, and the guy just kept on walking. So, you know, good for him. But they were. It was right outside of the Silver Bullet. And it was just this wall-to-wall teenagers just standing there talking instead of moving or making room. So we're all trying to squeeze by them. And so this guy bumped a kid, and the kid would not shut up. You bumped me. You pushed me. Come back here. And he just kept walking. I was like, is there going to be another, like, Knott's going to get shut down for another fight?
I would like to see them do that to David, because David's really tall. And like,
I'd break him in half.
Imposing.
Yeah. I did hurt a guy at Avengers Endgame.
Oh.
By accident.
He spoil it?
No, we were leaving the theater, and this guy was trying. I could hear him pushing through the crowd as we're all walking out, and he ran right into my elbow. Like I was just walking, and I heard him go, "Ooh!" And he like bent over. I'm like, "Oh, yeah, maybe he won't push now."
Yeah, but nice. To be fair, I elbow kids in the face all the time. No, it's because I work at a
so
school, and they are elbow height.
She was really like excited, like giddy about that.
I remember when my kids were at elbow height. That was a scary time.
Yeah, they it's like they're walking up behind you. You don't see them, and you got your elbows out, you know, moshing at the elementary school. No, yeah. You just got your elbows out.
When did you guys go that it was so busy there?
When?
Yeah, when was
we that? Went, my friend Layla and I went the Friday it opened for the wine tasting. Layla and I went back with our kids on a Thursday, during the day.
But John, you said it was really busy one of the days that you went there.
Yeah. Well, there was twice that I went.
Yeah, it
was weekend
Sunday
night.
Morning.
Oh, one was a Sunday morning.
And the other one was Saturday night.
One was Saturday night. There you go. You have it.
All right.
Wow. And they were just too busy to really enjoy.
Well, we've talked about the fact that Knott's seems like it's getting busier. Like every price hike that.
Yeah.
Disneyland annual passes go up. Seems like people just kind of
like literally there was nothing we could do.
And the dining pass too makes it so worth it.
Well, I'm sure that I love the Boysenberry Festival, and I was really bummed that I couldn't make it out to the Boysenberry Festival this year. So I'm sure that that's really growing in popularity. They had a lot of new offerings.
Yeah.
So John, did you get to do the pie eating contest?
No.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we didn't. It was too busy for things like that.
Yeah.
I do want to say one thing. Not related to the Boysenberry Festival that I realized. It was the day I had the Cosmo. We had a Cosmo and two glasses of wine, so my friend wasn't ready to drive yet when it closed. They have this fire pit outside behind
Ghost Rider.
Is that over there by the Starbucks?
Yeah. And I always kind of wondered why they would do that, but that night she wasn't ready to drive yet, so we sat there by the fire.
I don't think I've ever seen that thing on. I think I've walked
on at night.
Okay.
So, yeah, so that's we sat cool. there until she was ready to drive, and I just thought, what a great idea for if they're serving alcohol to make sure that there's somewhere safe when they close.
Yeah, not Disney.
Like
they're
a
like
fire pit. What's safer than drinking in a
well,
fire
no,
pit?
Well, no, like just to sit around so you could wait.
Not Disney. Disney's like, all right, get out.
Yeah.
See ya.
Yeah, and that was the other thing is like
we pay $80 for parking downtown Disney.
We were like one of the very last to leave the parking lot, and there was no security or anything ticketing people or anything. It was just, I thought that was great that like if people are drinking. They provided
like a little.
Yeah, they provided something for people to hang out at.
Yeah.
Technically, anybody can hang out there.
Yeah, anybody can. It's just I always wondered why somebody would hang out there until I needed to hang out there.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Do we know what's next for Knott's Berry Farm?
Yeah, I believe it's Ghost Town Alive starting on Memorial Day.
Okay.
And that is
you guys
always
really enjoy
a great
that.
Time.
Yeah, you guys really enjoy that.
I might have to get a sweatshirt for that too.
So I'm going to dedicate myself. So I will go with you guys, and hopefully you can take your kids. And I would like to do like a little video of Ghost Town Live.
Oh, yes, you'll be on summer vacation.
Yeah.
So we should go during a weekday when it's
We can totally go
slower.
During a weekday. Yeah, I think that'll be a great idea. Okay, I'm glad I thought of it.
And you could try out the dining pass.
I can take it. I can try the dining pass. I'm really excited. I want to try out like the one day dining pass because that seems like it's a really good idea because you get to eat like every what hour and a half? Is it every 90 minutes?
I think it's every 4 hours.
No, ours is every 4 hours.
Yeah.
The
Which one day.
I've
I think
overheard somebody saying that it changed, but I haven't seen anything official.
Yeah. If it had changed, we belong to a couple of Knott's Berry Farm Facebook groups. So if it had changed, we would have heard something.
Yeah.
By now.
That's what I'm like. I haven't heard anything official, but I heard somebody at Knott's saying like it was going to change.
Hmm. All right.
But yeah. And I do want to throw out the drink pass is awesome. A small soda every 15 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And I always get my receipt.
And then that way you don't have to like carry the bottle with you and like spill it everywhere. And like you just throw it away and get another one.
Yeah. So I always carry my receipt so I could see like when that 15 minutes is up. And
all right,
sweet deal.
That sounds like fun. Well, we are going to do a total preview of our next show or the show after that. We're going to do a total preview on what's coming up for the summer. And I know Knott's has a lot of things coming up this summer, entertainment wise, that sound really exciting. Which segues us into our
news
segment. Thank you. It is time for park hopping.
Welcome to the Magic Kingdom of Disneyland. There are several ways to visit this happy place. If this is your first visit, you may enjoy the guided tour. Welcome to Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of LA.
Welcome one and all, y'all come have a ball, things are very fine, riding on the old Knottsberry line.
All right, like Brandis pointed out to me when I had that momentary stroke, I don't know what's going on today. Park hopping is our news segment. And John, what's going on at Knott's Berry Farm?
Well, Knott's Berry Farm sets opening date for new Calico River Rapids water ride. New Calico River Rapids coming to Knott's Berry Farm will introduce Sasquatch to the renovated Bigfoot Rapids attraction after the legendary folklore beast managed to avoid detection for 3 decades on the water ride that bore its name. An extensive renovation of the 1987 Bigfoot Rapids at the Buena Park theme park debuted May 17th will transform the River Rapids water ride into an animated attraction with 9 thematic scenes and more than 20 animatronic figures. Living in the foothills of the Sequoias as a child, I was both intrigued and terrified by the Sasquatch legend, said Knott's Vice President of Entertainment Ken Parks. As a kid, I was extremely...
He's the vice president of a theme park and his last name is Parks?
Yeah.
Never...
You sure this is like this is real
setup,
news and not a TV show? Or...
Made by kids for kids. Okay, yeah. Well, as a kid, I was extremely disappointed that an attraction called Bigfoot Rapids, which had Bigfoot as its main focus, did not include an encounter with the creature.
I was disappointed I could see Western Avenue from the top of the lift.
Well, the good news here is they've righted that wrong. Okay, so he's really calling out the people that made it, though. Like, that's kind of bold. Like,
they're probably long dead by now.
True, huh? Tom Rapids is dead. Okay, so the new
Tom Rapids and Joe Bigfoot.
Yeah. Which, the new, I always kind of thought it was interesting that you never find him because it's like, it's kind of something.
You go into that one, you used to go into that one dark tunnel and you would hear this like growl from the speaker over, like you could clearly see in the corner.
Yeah, as a kid, I expected to see him.
Yeah.
Knott's magic right there.
Yeah.
But they hyped it up too, like watch for him, he might appear, but he never did.
Yeah, and all the commercials. Like, you guys remember all the commercials?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Well, that's because you just weren't cool enough. All right.
And then they took the waterfalls away, and then I was like, there's literally no reason for me to ride this ride. I can see like the parking lot across the street from here.
Yeah.
I know one of David's favorite things about Knott's Berry Farm.
See the old,
All right, come on.
The new Calico River Rapids overlay will tie together the backstories of Knott's Ghost Town area and thematically connect the water ride to the park's classic mine train and log ride attractions. In the past decade, more than 100 new animatronic characters have been added to the 1960s Calico Mine Ride and 1969 Timber Mountain Log Ride in the Calico Ghost Town at Knott's Berry Farm. Calico River Rapids tells the story of the expansion of the Western Territories, which can be found just outside of Calico, Parks said. Riders will see that the Calico Mine Company is at work within the wilderness as well as the Timber Mountain Logging Company. Calico River Rapids expands on the backstory developing during the renovations of the Knott's Log Ride in 2013 and Mine Train in 2014. In those stories, the people working in the logging mill and gold mine were ghost town citizens. In the new story, the pioneers settling the Calico River territories are the future founders of the town, timber company and gold mine.
So this is all done by a company called Garner Holt Productions, and they do basically, if there's an animatronic made in a theme park now, they're the ones that do it. Walt Disney Imagineering stopped manufacturing their own animatronics decades ago, and so now anytime you see anything with like big robotics, big audio animatronics, they're made by this company called Garner Holt. And so they've actually done a really good job. They updated the Timber Mountain Log Ride and they updated the Calico Mine Ride. And I think, you know, they did a really good job of keeping with that tradition, you know, because it used to be just a lot of like static figures that looked like they were carved by, you know, someone with a nerve impairment in their hand.
They look scarily realistic
yeah.
now.
So now they're, yeah. So I think they did a really good job. So I'm excited to see what they're going to do for this Calico River Rapids. So what do you guys think?
Well, first thing I noticed is they are not offering early entry the day it...
I noticed that as well.
Yeah, and that is just really not what they normally do.
They normally give pass holders a small little preview
or
something.
Yeah, we get like special invitation for that ride, for the new ride specifically. And yeah, no, so I noticed that, but I am excited for it.
And what did they say that it's opening?
This month.
Yeah, this month. But it's right at the top.
Debuting May 17th.
May 17th. So, I mean, today we're recording this on Cinco de Mayo. By the way, happy Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's 2 weeks away. So they have this great
video.
We put the video on our Facebook page, too. So there's a great video of them actually turning the water and turning the water on and going behind the scenes and showing them doing the carvings of the animatronics and the robotics. And so, sorry, not to spoil the magic, but the rattlesnakes on the banks are not real.
Oh, yes. I saw that video. They hand-painted it. They're hand-painted.
Right. And so, one of the things that Ken Parks said, you know, is that the idea is that Ghost Town or Calico is this really real, you know, place. And that's the city center of Calico. And that's the industrial center because you got the train station, you got the mine, and you got the timber operation. But then you go a little bit further out, and then you have, you know, this kind of open area, the outskirts of Calico, and that kind of ties into where they have Mystery Lodge, you know, so it's more of a wilderness area. And so I think that works much better than anything that they've ever, because it used to be called like Whitewater Wilderness, I think was the name of the land. And it's really was just a walkway for you to get back through to where the Good Time Theater, the Charles M. Schultz Theater, and all the bumper cars and stuff. It was really just a pass through. But now they're really seeming to pay attention to, you know, theme and, you know,
yeah,
land
they're
and stuff.
Roping
which is,
it in.
Yeah.
They're...
Which was when Cedar Fair first took over. They were, you know, pumping in top 20 music as you were walking through, you know, Ghost Town. So, you know, Knott's goes through these weird cycles.
They do top 20 music through Ghost Town, but it's done very bluegrassy.
Okay. Which I'm totally okay
with.
Yeah,
that works.
But like, this was like, they were literally playing like the Britney Spears cuts. You know, well, I mean, not Britney Spears.
Well, and they'd have the radio stations there. The radio stations would produce through there.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So, you know, Knott's goes through these weird cycles of like people that get it, and then they have, you know, cycles of people that don't get it. And they have, so it's just kind of this like vicious cycle. I also invite everybody to go out and watch the Theme Park Expedition YouTube video on Knott's Berry Farm, which I found fascinating. It was a history of the Roaring Twenties area, in the back of the park, which is the boardwalk area currently. It was just a great, look back if you have a lot of memories of Knott's Berry Farm growing up like I do, and I know like probably
awesome.
Everybody here does. Yeah.
The racers.
Yeah, the soapbox racers. And they cover all of that, and there was a gypsy camp before, and he misses a couple of things in the history, but that's like
But they kept stealing kids.
It's
so
like
they closed down the gypsy
right?
camp.
You couldn't pickpocket. I mean, that's terrible. Yeah, we shouldn't make that. But I challenge everybody to go. I encourage everybody to go watch that theme park expedition.
You're going to send him our podcast, right?
I sure am.
Since we're giving them a plug, give us a plug.
Yeah, you bet. I think he's here. I think he's at Disneyland today. All right. So, John, are you excited about this, David? What do you think?
Is this a person
who I know has opinions about knots?
You're a person.
Is this something that would get you to go and check it out, knowing that it's done by Garner Holt?
Yeah, it might. I'm glad they redid it. Yeah, and I like the fact that they redid the Calico Mine. I used to use that when I taught a history of Disneyland class. I used that as an example of what Pirates of the Caribbean was going to look like. They were going to be static pirate figures you would walk through, and that Calico Mine ride and the Pirates of the Caribbean came out almost at the same time, but Walt decided to hold it and work on these new animatronics that evidently they no longer make. Yeah, but I'd be excited to try that. Yeah. Like, I want to do that. I want to do Soak City. And slightly off topic, I'm dying to take my girls to Magic Mountain, to Six Flags.
Have you still not taken them here yet?
I have not taken them here
yet. I'm just going to say I'm going to recommend against Soak City.
Oh, okay.
I have a student there that was she's a lifeguard. She said, go before school gets out or when school goes back in. I'm like, yeah, but I got kids who want to go.
Yeah, we had the passes 1 year and did not enjoy a single trip.
Well, it was just like, it was so packed. Like, we tried different times to, like, before, get there early.
It was too crowded.
Blah, blah, blah. It was so crowded that, like, you couldn't even do, there's no place to really even leave your towel sometimes. Like,
yeah,
it
like
was
no
out of control.
Seats and, like, just going in the wave pool or the lazy river is an obstacle course. I'm surprised more people aren't getting hurt. The lines for the slides were so long that you're just
and that's one of my least favorite things. Like, I'm not a huge wall. I did a water park in Disney World for the first time ever. And Typhoon Lagoon.
Okay.
I went to Typhoon Lagoon. But it was kind of chilly that day. I mean, it was in the like low 70s, so there wasn't a whole lot of people there. And I loved it. I thought it was great. But I also thought, I took my younger brother, took him to Raging Waters in San Dimas with a 10, 2, 10, and 57 freeways each.
Come to Raging Waters this summer and see more of your friends. Raging Waters, with a 10 and 210 freeways meet in San Dimas.
Well done. Well done, sir.
But at Typhoon Lagoon, like, even though at Typhoon Lagoon, they make the lines very themed. And I was like, this has got to be miserable if it's really busy, like, a summer day. Like, I can't imagine going to a water park and just,
Great Wolf Lodge does it very well. I mean, for starters, they're indoors, so you're not standing out in the sun. But we went there and it wasn't. Oh, wait, we went there in February, though. Never mind. I don't know how it is in the summer.
I've heard great things about it. I've had friends that have stayed there and said it was great.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And we looked into it, and the hotel rooms were only like $3,000 a night. They were so expensive.
Well, we didn't stay at the hotel.
Oh,
we just went for a day, and yeah, I just really enjoyed it.
Because I think when they first opened, you weren't allowed to use the water park unless...
Yeah,
we're staying at the hotel.
We got hooked up. That's why. We got hooked up.
That's why, because you have to be in the hotel as a guest.
But the good part is that you get to pay all that money and then stay in the really seedy part of Garden Grove.
That's right.
Yeah.
As opposed to the really classy part of Garden Grove.
But it's walking distance to Disneyland.
Wow, I'm just being offensive today, more than normal.
I will say this, that, like I said, like John mentioned, we got hooked up. So our listeners that aren't in Southern California, when you live here, you tend to know people who could hook you up. And that's one of the reasons. I've had to explain to family members that live out of state that we do not have money. Like, contrary to what you believe, I cannot just go fly out there and visit because we don't have money. We just know people.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like you either know someone that works in like a theme park, or you know someone that works for Disney, or you know someone that's like in the movie industry. Like, if those four things, if you live in Southern California, you know someone that is connected, because I mean, they're huge employers. But yeah,
they're the largest employer in Orange County.
Yeah.
Disney.
Yeah. Wow.
But I mean, even beyond that, like, you will know someone at some point that works at a theme park and can, or a hotel like Great Wolf Lodge that can get you a little bit better access beyond what the normal person coming from, Iowa or Washington State or whatever, wherever you're coming from. We love all those places. But, when you're coming here from out of town, it's a very different experience than what we experienced living here in Southern California. So great discussion. All right, let's go on to our next story, which is
Secret Life of Pets.
Secret Life of Pets.
All right. Welcome to New York. It's been waiting for you. Welcome to New York. Welcome to New York. It's a new soundtrack. I could dance to this beat.
I've lived in this city all my life. I'm Max, and I'm the luckiest dog in New York because of her. That's Katie.
Okay, so Universal Studios Hollywood has announced The Secret Life of Pets Off the Leash, a new ride set to open in 2020.
Oh, I get it.
Off the Leash.
Get it.
Do you see what they did? Did you see what they did?
Yeah.
Off
yeah.
the Leash? All right.
Ooh.
So in this all-new, fully immersive experience, guests will assume the roles of stray puppies as they join a familiar cast of leading characters from The Secret Life of Pets, Max, Snowball, Gidget, Chloe, and Duke, along with a host of other animal friends on the ultimate quest of finding forever homes. We are thrilled to be able to bring another excellent, exciting Illumination movie-based ride to our guests, said Karen Irwin, president and COO, Universal Studios Hollywood. The Secret Life of Pets, Off the Leash, will capture the essence of the popular film and invite our guests to live vicariously through some of their favorite characters as they embark on a one-of-a-kind experience only available at Universal Studios Hollywood. The innovative adventure will blend live, dimensional, and animated characters with hyper-realistic media as guests zip along a track aboard ride vehicles through bustling New York City streets towards the pet adoption event and the ultimate happy ending, Forever Homes. Along the way, guests will fare an array of challenges and meet up with fellow animal pals eager to help guide them through toward their destination. A Secret Life of Pets attraction has been rumored for some time and has even somewhat confirmed by Steve Burke, NBC Universal's chief executive officer in recent years. The Secret Life of Pets Off the Leash will be located in the upper lot adjacent to the popular Despicable Me Minion Mayhem and Super Silly Funland attractions, replacing an old Globe Theater, which was demolished last year. Illumination's The Secret Life of Pets 2, the chapter in the franchise, arrives in theaters June 7th. And that's it. That's the end.
Can I just say, Universal Studios, if your marketing is listening to this, you guys would be dumb not to hold adoption events regularly to promote this.
To promote the movie, yeah.
I heard they're going to make a second one. It's going to be Secret Life of Pets in the Aquarium. It's off the hook.
Oh.
It took me the whole time John was reading.
I was just going to say, how long did that take?
Good one.
I'd like to apologize for that joke.
Bloody.
Were you just... thinking about that joke the whole time.
And yeah. That's the best I could do.
Wow. That's
sometimes when I bomb, I think, I used to perform at the improv. I used to be, now I'm doing dad jokes. That's just, I've fallen so far.
It's just the natural progression.
And yet you have me here. I still feel the love, so, Chris. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And yeah. I mean, thanks for coming. It sounds interesting. I think we're going to be the first ones to get this particular attraction. That along with the new Jurassic World that we talked about before, that gives me some pretty good incentive. But this is not coming until 2020.
Correct.
So, yeah.
They have a new deal for tickets, too. Universal.
Do you know what it is?
No, it's like $149 for basically a season pass, which I thought was a pretty good deal.
I think I did. I heard that on the radio.
It's on their commercials. Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't taken my girls in forever, and I thought, all right, I'm going to take them. Who needs school? I'm just going to take them to amusement parks where it gets crowded.
Right? I mean,
right. Yeah, education.
Life lessons.
Right?
I'm a doctor. I'll teach them things.
Sometimes that life lesson is just go and do stuff. Not that we're advocating ditching school, but, you know, sometimes.
But we're not advocating it.
Right? So we bought a three-pack of tickets from, 3 days worth of tickets from Costco last year, and we only used it the one time. And that was when Jurassic Park, the ride, went away. So, you know, we are certainly overdue for a visit. I'm excited about Jurassic World, but I mean, this seems family friendly. I think the complaint with Universal Studios a lot of the times is that it's kind of like a half day park. And it's, if you get there in the morning, it's not a super crowded day. Now, the lot, when we were there, again, it was because Jurassic Park, the ride was closing for Jurassic World, the ride, but, you know, it was really crowded. It was the most crowded I've ever seen it in my entire existence of going there, David.
I have a question, sir.
Yeah.
For a while, like when I was in junior high and high school, I liked Universal better than Disneyland because I love that studio tour.
Right.
And it was like a 3-hour
event. Yeah, they don't do that anymore.
What is it like?
So it's a it's a like a 90-minute tour.
Okay.
And they don't, so a lot of the, like, because I remember that going.
Remember you'd stop halfway at this little restaurant?
You'd stop at the restaurant, yeah.
And then you get back on the tram. And I saw like my favorite TV stars like actually filming shows. Like they would drive by and you'd see them. It was fantastic.
It really depends on the day that you take it. I've had tours that were okay. Because I remember that too, because they used to do the special effects show right in the middle of the tour as well. And they would tell you, like, go to the bathroom and, you know, there's only like one stop in the middle of the tour. I remember those days. Mm-hmm. I miss those days.
Yeah.
I miss that.
So what is it
I
now?
Miss King Kong.
It's 90 minute.
With
it's
his banana breath.
Done by a famous Disney Imagineer, Bob Gurr, is the one that created the King Kong animatronic. But now it's like a 90 minute tour and it's all about like, it's so not focused on the studio part anymore. And that's my problem with The Life of Pets is that they're and some of the new like Nintendo stuff is that they're demolishing a lot of the older sound stages on the lower studio lot to put in more theme park stuff. Now, granted, they're building new sound stages other places, but they're getting that tour has gotten away from a lot of the movie backstage aspects of it.
Because that's what I love.
Because you used to go like onto Wisteria Lane, you know, or these, you know, show you where like the Munster's house was, or, you know, different, you know, they'd go onto that residential streets and they would show you a lot of that. Now they still do that, but it depends on the day. I've been on a tour where we didn't even go into New York Street. So it's a lot of the theme park type experiences now. So you get on the tram tour, they'll take you down into the lower lot, and the first thing you do is like an experience. I think the first thing you do is the King Kong, but the 3D, you know, no, the first thing you do is Earthquake, which has been there for, you know, 25, 30 years. So the first thing you do is Earthquake, and then you do the King Kong thing, and then you do the Fast and the Furious thing at the end. And it's all about these, you know, you do, now there's the staples like the Jaws, you know, thing. And
the Psycho.
The Psycho house. They take you by the Psycho house and they take you.
The airplane crash.
The airplane crash scene.
I would love to own one of those condos overlooking that.
Oh, yeah. No, I thought you were going to say you would want to own one of those turbine engines that is constantly just going.
Yes, that would be fun too if I didn't like my neighbors.
Yeah. But yeah, I just imagine walking out every morning on your coffee and you just like looking out on this.
Like the burning crash. Wreckage. I would have so many parties, dinner parties and cocktail parties, and just show people, look.
You can theme them to like, you can have like airline themed cocktail parties.
Yeah.
There you go. That's fun. Fear of flying. Come on out.
Serve peanuts.
But what makes me sad is that they've gotten away from a lot of talking about the history and like the actual movie making process.
Yeah. Now,
they do still have a lot of that, but it really seems focused now on that theme park experience, like the Fast and the Furious stuff, and
I've never
seen a single one of those.
Do they show you the Back to the Future.
Yeah, they go to the courthouse. They go to the courthouse square. They show you that. But it depends on the day. It all depends on the day.
One of the times I was there. They were filming. I think it's America's Got Talent. Is that the one Tyra Banks is on?
Yes.
So we got to see all the people waiting for their turn, rehearsing outside until they got to go in, and we were there. When Tyra Banks arrived. And they stopped the tram just to let us see her get out, which she took forever. She was probably waiting for us to leave, but we didn't. So we did. I saw the back of Tyra Banks.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, that was worth the wait.
Best side of her.
John instantly regretted seeing that. I could see it in his face.
I can't even picture what she looks like anymore. But,
you know, and if they're filming, so part of it was like, we got to go the last tram tour I took, we took the tram tour and we went through, and this set was dressed for the good. One of the sets was dressed for The Good Place.
Oh, cool.
You know, so that was kind of cool. And I agree with you. That's the part that I always loved was that movie making, like, here's a place where they actually make the movies, and they do still do a lot of that to a certain extent, but
getting to be a tour guide was difficult. I mean, you had to, there was auditions and competition to be.
I auditioned for that twice and didn't make it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
That'd be cool.
Netflix utilizes that whole area a lot. So as one thing is, if you are going to go on the tram tour, Universal Studios, watch some Netflix before you go, some of their original series.
Serious Whale. Huh. Interesting.
So, yeah. And then, you know, and things film from, it's kind of like the school year. I think, you know, they take the summer off and they start filming in, you know, late August, September, and then they film all the way through the fall, and then, you know, they're producing stuff. One of the better tours that I actually recommend is the Warner Brothers tour.
I was going to do that, and it was stunningly expensive.
It was very expensive.
It was too expensive for me to take my kids.
And talking about...
went by yourself?
No, I didn't even go by myself. I'm doing it. I'm like, not doing that.
So here's a story I probably shouldn't tell. I'm going to tell it anyway. I used to have a friend that worked for Warner Brothers, and we had lunch on the lot, and, you know, they're a commissary and they give you a little badge, and then she had to go back to work. I mean, they had to go back to work. And so the friend that I was with, so she invited me and my friend, because we're all three of us were a group, and then he left, and then my friend who worked at Warner Brothers had to go back to work, and she was like, yeah, just don't get in trouble. So I spent the afternoon wandering in. I saw Kathy Bates, who was filming one of her shows at the time. I just wandering in and out of – I don't advocate this at all, but it was amazing. We went around the back lot, and we saw the – you know, we saw the square where the Music Man was filmed, and then I think later on they filmed that Grease Live was the exterior of Rydell High. And I saw these like people driving by in their really expensive tours kind of like craning their necks and looking at me like, who's that guy? Why is he?
How'd he get that ticket?
And I was just walking around the Warner Brothers back lot, and it was amazing. The Universal Studios does a similar tour to the Warner Brothers Studios tour where they, you know, you get a little car and it's a lot more expensive, obviously, but then they'll ask you what you want to see and they'll take you and you can take pictures at Courthouse Square and you can take pictures in the various, you know, back lot sets and areas. But I miss that movie making aspect of it. It's much more of a theme park experience.
Interesting. Okay. Because that was my favorite thing as a kid.
Yeah.
And I haven't been there, 20 years, I don't think?
Yeah. I mean, it's fun, but there's way more stuff to do there now. But they've seemed to, the studio tour especially was really disappointing the last time that we went because they didn't, you know, they didn't really go into anything. They used to talk about, you know, the lake and, you know, and they used to take you by the big water tank and talk about the big water tank and what was filmed there. And, you know, some of the old cheesy effects, like the Parting of the Red Seas, they took those out because they're building more sound stages.
Oh, I forgot about that.
They still have the Mexican village that floods?
They have that. I forgot about the Parting of the Red Sea. I was so scared of that as a kid. I thought the waters were going to crash on me.
They took that and the little lagoon where they used to have like the plane go by and it was like the, it was a miniature lagoon that they used for like all the exterior shots of Gilligan's Island and McHale's Navy. Like that's all gone. That's all
really
like sound stages and stuff like that now too. So, you know, I'm sure it depends on the day that you go and what's going on and what's busy, but, they make sure that you're going to hit those theme park experiences. Like I said, and then kind of the movie making aspect of the tour is almost seems to take a back seat to that. Yeah. So, all right. Well, on that,
derailing the entire conversation.
No, that's a good conversation. All right. And finally, well, not finally, our next story, a Florida transplant comes to DCA. What's going on at DCA?
Hi, everybody. It's me, Stage Manager Goofy. Are you ready for the show? That's great, because I'm getting ready to open these here Auto Magic doors. Please be sure to stand clear of the doors, because when I push the button, they're going to open towards you. Well, where'd that button get to? Oh, there it is. Ready? Here we go.
Okay. Mickey's Philhar Magic?
Philhar Magic.
Philhar Magic.
Oh, man. So close. That was almost as good as the not I almost call her Beyonce.
Yeah.
Tyra Banks.
Philhar. God.
All right.
Okay, the spectacular magic of Disney animation and music will soon come to life in the 3D movie musical Mickey's Philhar Magic at Disney California Adventure Park. The show, which is a transplant from Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom, premiered April 26th at the Sunset Showcase Theater in Hollywoodland. Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, and other favorite Disney characters take the stage in this 3D fantasy adventure. Formerly, the Sunset Showcase Theater was home to preview of upcoming Disney movies and began life as the home of the Muppet Vision 3D when the park opened in February of 2001. I think I saw that.
It was actually one of my favorite shows. I loved, because I love the Muppets, and it was a fun show.
Yeah.
I'm sad that it's gone. It's been closed for a while.
Yeah. Okay. As Donald prepares the orchestra for Mickey, he comes across the conductor's baton and Mickey's sorcerer's hat. A little magic goes a long way and proceeding goes awry. Donald is unexpectedly plunged into a 3D dream world and you're taken along for the ride. The experience will sweep you away into the fantastic world of classic Disney animated musical sequences from Beauty and the Beast and The Little Mermaid to Peter Pan and Aladdin. Mickey's Philhar Magic debuts during Disney's Get Your Ears On, a Mickey and Minnie celebration.
I hate it when corporations try to be hip. I really...
They're like off by 15 years.
Off the leash?
I know.
Off the hook?
Get your ears
that,
on.
That is no. That's you know what? The more I think, the more I think about it, that is a solid gold idea.
I know. That's what it resonates.
I'm here all week.
Yeah. No, that one landed right. Okay, let's see. Where was I? Okay, Mickey and Minnie Celebration. Okay, which is... let me start over. Mickey's PhilharMagic debuts during Disney's Get Your Ears On.
First was like, from the beginning? No, don't do that.
No, going back to the Get Your Ears On. Let's just say that one more time. Get Your Ears On, a Mickey and Minnie Celebration, which is part of the ongoing celebration of Mickey's 90th birthday and features the all-new Mickey Mix Magic Nighttime Projection Show, the returning of Mickey's Soundsational Parade. Limited time decor, special foods, merchandise, and more.
So, I mean, yay. I mean, it's something to do, I suppose. Yeah. I've seen the show at Florida. It's cute. It's not the full-blown show from Florida. I think they're literally just transplanting the 3D movie from Florida over to Disney World. Over to the California Adventure. I may go check it out. I'm heading there this afternoon. I may go check it out. I may have a few cocktails first. So, you know.
Well, that makes everything better.
Yeah, I heard it was like a 60% version of the show.
Yeah, because the show in Florida has like full-blown animatronics. Like they've got a full-blown like orchestra, you know, animatronic orchestra, and Donald is an animatronic inside the attraction. And so I heard... But I mean, I guess it's better than, I give them credit for this, like it's better than just using it as a, you know, place to show previews, I guess. Maybe they're hoping this draws away some of the crowds from Star Wars.
Definitely. I think everyone's going to forget about Star Wars Land and like, go to
Yo,
Mickey's
I
got to
go check out PhilharMagic.
That's what's going to do
it. Go get their
it.
Ears on.
Yeah, my
that's exactly.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Does anybody have any feelings about this? I
don't care.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't mind them bringing stuff over from Florida. I'm fine with it, but just don't bring over a less than version
of
it's like now. A much. It's like, what's the cheapest thing we can do to change this?
I'm
like, you know what? You're making the money. You can afford to make some real changes.
I mean, as we saw from the Avengers movie, they just made enough money to pay for basically everything that they've bought in the last couple of years. So, right. You know, but I mean, it is what it is. Like I said, I wish they would do something to that theater in Tomorrowland that used to be Honey, I Shrunk the Audience. They just now that they're just using that for more Star Wars, you know, clips. And it's just, you know, I'm really hoping that at D23 this year, they're going to finally announce what's happening to Tomorrowland and that they're going to just bulldoze the entire land except for Space Mountain and start over from the beginning and Star Tours. But who needs Star Tours now? Because we are moving on. Thank you, John.
And on that note.
Yeah, on that note, speaking of Star, I'm sorry, is there something Star Wars happening at Disneyland?
I'm not aware of. Well,
I think I heard something.
Right? David, anything?
Not that I'm interested in. I've done anything. If it was Star Trek Land, I would be there.
Oh, wow.
So I want to walk around asking them if they know where Mr. Spock is. Just
circling
that's
back,
my whole goal.
Circling back. Do you remember the Star Trek show at Universal Studios Hollywood?
Never saw it.
God, I am the only one that remembers that. Like, there used to be... So now it's Kung Fu Panda, but where Shrek used to be, there was a Star Trek live-action show.
Hello, and welcome to Universal Studios' Star Trek Adventure, courtesy of Paramount Pictures. I'm Gene Roddenberry, and some of you may know me as the creator of Star Trek. The episode you're about to see is a first. It's the first time guest stars have ever played the roles of the captain of the Enterprise and the Vulcan science officer. We'll now give you a peek at the rehearsal session that went on between our guest stars and their two directors, William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy.
Where you could like be a part of the show at Universal Studios Hollywood.
Dude, how did I miss that in my life?
All right. I'm making my mission to find like footage of this, but we're not talking about Star Trek.
We're not talking about Star Trek. We're talking about the plot holes that is the world of Star Wars.
Why are you
beautiful characters,
you are hateful
beautiful
today.
Ships. No, I mean, the characters are wonderful. The ships are beautiful. The world they created is wonderful. It could not have been a worse written series. That's all I'm saying. It's so filled with plot holes.
Are you talking about the original three or all?
I'm going to say the whole thing. Star Wars was good. Empire Strikes Back was brilliant. The rest of them were just
send your hate.
I made a list of my favorite movies and The Last Jedi is one of my top 10 worst movies I've ever paid money to see. That movie was embarrassingly bad. Princess Leia as Mary Poppins. Come on,
Chris, you should probably edit this out so we don't lose listeners.
Hey, send your hate mail to me.
Dr. Skipper.
Are you talking about the part where she's like
Dr.
floating Skipper. Out in space?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hated that.
She magically floats out.
I didn't like
the
that
whole
either.
Movie. I was like, I can't believe this was greenlit. and made into a film.
So I love the Star Wars movies, and I actually enjoyed The Last Jedi. That is my one complaint about that movie.
Was I think everybody agree. I don't think there's anybody on the earth that saw that and was like, wait.
Yeah, that was one complaint. That was a great idea.
Was the writers and the directors. That was my complaint about that film.
Yeah.
And the whole thing was just a train wreck and an insult, I think.
I did not enjoy it.
I think they're, we like Star Wars so much, and the characters are so cool. Sure. I think we like Star Wars so much, and it's so great that they can just turn out crappy stuff, and people will still
What's disappointing is that they like Solo was. Solo was a great movie.
So good.
Did you guys see
and
Solo?
Rogue One?
I heard it was
so
terrible. Somebody told me it was terrible.
No,
I never gave it a chance.
So good. It is such a good movie. It's probably one of the better of the newer.
Yes.
That and Rogue One are probably my two favorite of the newest.
Yes.
The new Star Wars movies that have been done.
In my world, it goes Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, Rogue One, Solo. Those are the four movies.
Yeah.
And I didn't see Solo in the theaters because I heard it was bad. So I watched it on Netflix. And how many times have I watched it? I've watched it 6 or 7 times.
I'm so glad I saw it in the theaters.
I will say with Rogue One, I am not a Star Wars fan. My boys are and my husband is. So I am forced to watch them. And I did enjoy Rogue One.
We're into Star Trek too, actually. We watched the whole, I mean, I don't know if the TV show is considered, I don't know.
No, we saw
cool?
Star Trek Next Generation.
Yeah,
we love that show.
Yeah.
You guys watch, so we're quickly derailing here, but you should watch a show called The Orville. Seth MacFarlane on Fox.
The Orville
is so
good.
We really got to wrap this up.
Yeah. So here we go.
Watch The Orville.
My bad.
Watch
The Orville. All right. So Star Wars, Galaxy's Edge reservations at Disneyland open to the general public on May 2nd at 10 a.m.
Thank you, Brandy.
Pacific Standard Time and promptly sold out within about 2 hours. The 1 billion expansion, which is set to open May 31st, is expected to draw such large crowds that Disney instituted a free reservation process for the first month of its debut. At 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, fans were permitted to sign up for a four-hour window to visit the new land at Disneyland in California. Before 3 p.m., all reservations were closed. At this time, the only way to secure a reservation to visit Star Wars Galaxy's Edge at Disneyland parks between May 31st and June 23rd, 2019, is to stay at a Disneyland Resort Hotel. The park's website said, guests staying at Disneyland Resort Hotel on those dates will receive a designated reservation to access Star Wars Galaxy's Edge during their stay. From the date it officially opens, May 31st until June 23rd, visitors need a free-timed reservation into the land. In addition to regular theme park admission, when the four-hour time slots went up for grabs yesterday, there were time spots available even on the first day of operation if you acted quickly. Within an hour, the first few dates were fully booked. The $1 billion expansion, which is set to open May 31st, is expected to draw such large crowds that Disney instituted a free reservation process for the first month of its debut. We are delighted that our guests are as excited as we are about the May 31st opening of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, Disneyland spokesperson Liz Jaeger said. We can't wait for them to visit, and we look forward to delivering a great guest experience both now and after June 23rd, when reservations will no longer be required to visit Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. In the meantime, Disneyland followed up that no longer available statement on the official website with the recommendations to make a booking at an official Disneyland hotel, as that will guarantee your party a 4 hour time slot to visit Galaxy's Edge once during the day.
It'll also guarantee you have to mortgage your house.
Yep.
The official Disneyland hotel includes Disneyland Hotel, Disneyland's Grand Canyon Hotel and Spa, and the Disneyland Paradise Pier Hotel. Rates for those properties the night before opening day start at $600 plus, but other dates can be found for a bit less, so like $589 plus.
So if you go ahead.
Or just wait till 2024, which is when I'm going.
Or just wait till the 23rd of June. But
what I want to know is, so they're talking about 4 hour time slots,
right?
That you can. How are they? What do you have like?
So it's going to be kind of like your. And I'll talk about the process, because if you follow our Instagram or our Facebook page, you'll know that I went through this process and I got my reservation to see Star Wars Galaxy's Edge on Friday, June the 7th. So, but the way they're going to do it is they're going to have 4 hour time slots. And once that 4 hour time slot is over, they're going to sweep you out They're going to do is they're going to do a security sweep. They're going to literally kick everyone. We'll see how this goes over. Oh, I'm going to assume
that seems crazy.
I'm going to assume it's going to go over as well as the Keen's stroller and smoking ban.
It's probably going to be worse.
If you ever heard the herd fart in church, you know. Yes.
No, I just have a comment about their stroller ban.
Oh, no. Right. Okay. So what they're going to do is at the end of your time period, they're going to literally, and they're not guaranteeing that you're going to be able to get on the one attraction that they will have up and running, which is the Millennium Falcon Run. And they're going to take you and lovingly kick you out and then let the next group of people come in to the land.
I hope they do this sweep dressed as stormtroopers.
Oh, that would be amazing.
That's actually pretty cool.
So at the kickout hour, they just play like over loudspeakers. They just play the Imperial March.
Yeah, and then it's a wall of stormtroopers. Just like
it will be morbidly obese security guards.
Yeah,
and our friend
Dave.
Yeah. See, our friend Mark Diwas was in the OC Register.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, yeah. With him flying the Millennium Falcon. Yeah,
he's become like the poster child of.
See, like I said, if you live in Southern California, you know people.
But so
these are all guys we worked with.
So that's how the process. That's how the process is going to play out. So you'll go. You'll have your 4 hour block of time.
So what if you're in one of the restaurants there and eating? They're gonna.
I mean,
get up. They probably have a serving cutoff, like last call.
Yeah, they'll probably, at some point they will cut you off. And now Disney World, which I will also be for the summer, because I'm doing a lot of stuff this summer, they're going to actually, as part of their extra magic hours, they're doing extra magic hours. And they are opening Hollywood Studios at 6 a.m.
Oh.
And I am so glad that we booked our hotel. Our hotel is walking distance. It's about a 15 to 20 minute walk from our hotel near Epcot to Hollywood Studios. And so they are opening it up at 6 a.m. For the first, I think, 3 or 4 days that it's open, which tells you how badly they're expecting this to hit them when it's there. But that's how that's going to work. Let's talk a little bit about how this whole thing played out. At 10 o'clock, at 8 o'clock, they had the site was down at 8 o'clock because of the sheer numbers of people trying to log on. And because they were releasing, if you saw our vacationlandpodcast.com, we did an article on the how the process was going to play out. So at 8 o'clock, they had the opening salvo, the opening information. This is how you make a reservation at 10 o'clock. Now at 10 o'clock, you could get to that page, but it just gave you kind of like a placemaker page saying it does you no good to get in line early. But here's the funny part. But if you are in line now, if you're on this page now, don't refresh or reload your page because then you're going to lose your place in line once 10 o'clock rolls around. So either it does you good to get in line early or it didn't. So I was actually on two separate servers. So I was on a desktop computer and I was on my mobile phone. And would anybody like to guess which one I got through on?
The mobile phone.
Because the mobile phone, even though the mobile phone was constantly refreshing itself, I was able to get through, but it wasn't giving you any information. And then what happened was I actually got kicked out of the page. I got logged off the page. And then I was mad, but then I logged back in. When I logged back in, it gave me the page to make my reservation. So if you're in line and you got logged off and you got kicked off and you didn't log back in, you missed that opportunity to get your dates.
Ooh, they were probably fielding so many angry emails.
Yeah, I'm sure because this placeholder page kept telling you, it's going to open at 10, it's going to open at 10, it's going to open at 10. I didn't get through, it didn't kick me off and log me back on until like almost 10:40. And then by then, of course, the first 3 days were gone. But by 10:40, 10:30, there were still plenty of dates left in that opening, block of time, those opening dates. I could have gone earlier. I could have gone like 2 or 3 days earlier, but those times were all for like 8 o'clock. And I really want, they were 8 o'clock in the evening. And I really want my first time to see it to be in the daytime. I want to like experience it. Although I'm sure it's beautiful at night, I want to be able to see all the things. I want to be able to just kind of experience, all of the visual things in the daytime. I'll go back afterwards. But yeah, I'm sure there was a lot of complaints online about how this whole thing was handled, because so then they give you a barcode, you know, they give you a QR code, and then I'm assuming you take your QR code. What they also didn't say on the website, and people were finding out later, and I found out later, was that you could actually add up to 5 people in your party and not just yourself. And that wasn't anywhere advertised on the website. You had to go back and look for it and add people on that potentially had a ticket. So a lot of people thought, like, okay, so if like John and I wanted to go, John had to get a reservation and I had to get a reservation. But in truth, if John had logged on before me, John could have added me and 3 other people. So it could have been a party up to 5 people. So it was.
So you're not taking us?
Yeah, that's all a roundabout way to say no. but what I will be doing is
when I see the Klingons.
When I see, that's how you make people angry. But what I will be doing is I will be going on our Facebook page and our Instagram page live. I will be live streaming as well as doing a vlog from Star Wars Land until they sweep the area. So from 8 to 12 on June 7th, I will be there along with every other blogger and podcast host on Earth. And if you want to tune in to our Facebook page or to our Instagram in any time between those hours, I'll make an announcement about 10-15 minutes before I go live. And you want to see Star Wars Land and you don't want to wait till June 3rd and you don't want to get up at 6 o'clock and catch a plane to Florida, then that is where you will be able to at least get a glimpse of what Galaxy's Edge looks like.
How much of the joke do you think you're going to hear that day when, like, they're trying to sweep everybody out? Like, this is not the park goer you're looking for.
Ooh.
You think you're going to hear that a lot?
No, constantly. Yeah, no, that's...
That's going to be a dumb one, huh?
That's going to happen
all day long.
All day long.
And then they're going to laugh like they're just so clever.
Yeah, no, they're going to be like, yes, very, very good, sir. First time I've heard that today.
Yeah, now move along.
No, really, leave. Get out.
Just gets you to the in front of the line.
Yeah, that just gets you kicked out faster. If I was a security guard doing that, like, it's going to be really interesting to see. I may live stream the kick out because I don't.
I was thinking you were gonna, because that's what we all want to see.
I don't know. I want to see I'm looking forward to seeing when you go and you live stream it. What I would be interested in seeing is just the decor, like what it looks what's been hidden,
right? And that's the part that I'm really excited about, and that's the part that the reason I wanted to go during the daytime, during the daylight, is because I want to be able to see all these things that they've been working on, and I want to go on the Millennium Falcon. But that's not, as I was telling my wife, like, I mean, I'm kind of bummed that I couldn't take her with me, but at the same time, like, I'm gonna be just filming stuff and vlogging stuff. I'm not going there to enjoy myself. I'm going there to, like, produce content for the website. So, anyhow. All right. Any final thoughts on Star Wars Land, on Galaxy's Edge?
No, but that'll be exciting to watch.
Yeah. Disneyland cast. So I can't take you guys until at least August. I will take you guys eventually, but they've got Disneyland cast members, actually Disney company cast members, can't even get themselves in.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And they are blocked out until at least August at Disneyland. So, you know, there's a couple of days this summer where they can go to California Adventure on like a Tuesday, but they think once July hits, everything is blocked out. And they can't, usually, like, when they're blocked out for sign-ins, they can get themselves in. Nope, that ain't happening. Yeah. So, you know.
It's going to be insane.
It's going to be crazy. All right. So I think going once, going twice on Galaxy's Edge, June 7th. Check out our Facebook and Instagram pages. And all right, I think that's going to do it for that. David?
I will give a dollar to any guest that actually calls it Galaxy's Edge. Everyone just calls it Star Wars Land.
Star Wars Land, yeah.
Only people who work at Disney call it Galaxy's
Edge.
They
are trying so hard to push that.
Call it Galaxy's Edge. Everybody who has a pass will be like, what? No, I'm going to Star Wars Land.
No. Yeah, I paid for Star Wars Land.
I don't want Galaxy's Quest. I want Star Wars Land.
I also want to sit out there. Once I get kicked out, I may just sit there and live stream the angry people who have no idea that any of this is happening, even though it's been all over the internet. I'm already seeing it. Like, there are people who did not get reservations that made their hotel reservations off property, but they didn't get a reservation to see Galaxy's Edge ahead of time. There are people that are angry, and they're going to be people that are showing up. They're like, well, what do you mean I can't see Star Wars Land? And they're like, sir, it's Galaxy's Edge.
Exactly. That's not going to make them any happier.
That's, yeah.
So anyways, there's that. All right. Well, thank you, John. Thanks for reading the news. That's going to do it for that portion of the show. We do have one final thing left to do, and that is to draw the winner finally for our book giveaway. So back in God knows when, I think it was
February.
So back in February, I had this idea. David was here. We wanted to do a giveaway where we gave away, like you do, a copy of David's book. And so we're actually giving away a copy of Skipper Stories, and we are giving away a copy of more Skipper Stories.
That's right.
And so what I've
autographed.
Done. Autographed.
I was just going to say, you did autograph it, right?
No, but I will.
I mean, I don't even, yeah.
I will.
All right, cool.
Unless they don't want me to, then.
No, it's fine.
Don't screw up my book, man.
Right. Anyways, so we have a random number generator, literally. And we have the people that have entered into our contest, numbered 1 through 24.
25.
1 through 25, sorry. And
I recognize some of the names on this list. Some of them I know for a fact I've have the book.
Okay. They can sell it on.
They can get another free copy. It's all good.
Do they have both books, though?
I don't know.
All right. So this is going to be exciting. So I'm going to put 25 into our random number generator.
And the number comes out as 33.
What the heck? I don't understand what's happening.
Kind of monkey operation we're running over here.
I'll tell you exactly what kind. All right. So I have now hit the random number generator. The random number generator has generated a random number. Showing it to the class.
All right.
The random number is 7. David, who is number 7?
It's me. No, it's not.
David wins a copy of his own book.
It's not.
Wait, this is rigged.
I don't know who this is. Ocean Frames.
Okay.
Ocean Frames. Congratulations.
Nice. I believe they run a drone, underwater drone camera company.
Are you serious? I was just going to ask if that was a person, because you can never tell in Southern California. Is that a person or a company?
You know, it's a company. They're an underwater drone company.
That's pretty. Okay. Yes. I would rather see that than Star Wars Land Galaxy's Edge any day. Yeah. That is so freaking cool.
Go deliver the book to them.
I will hide it under the water and they have to find it. They have to go hunt in a kelp bed.
I will tag Ocean
Frames. I'll lash it to a mischievous sea otter.
Congratulations on your, congratulations?
Yeah, congratulations.
On your win. Thank you for entering the contest. We're going to do some more giveaways as the time goes on. I may pick up a few things in Galaxy's Edge. Would you guys like, what can I get you guys from Galaxy's Edge? Anything?
I really like coffee mugs that are 16 ounces or more.
Okay.
I want a Wookiee.
Or
a Romulan.
Ooh, or
ask them if they have Romulan ale at the bar. Ask them. I will give you $20 if you film yourself asking for a Romulan ale.
I will do a lot for $20. And I feel like you know that. All right.
Done.
Deal. All right. Well, that is going
$25 if he cries, the bartender, when you ask him.
Or if he just reaches across.
Can I have a Romulan ale? Yeah. Any kind of negative reaction is $5 extra.
Or 50 if he's like, okay, yeah, I have that.
Yes, he's got it.
What if he just goes, I don't like you. All right.
I don't like you either.
Thank you. God damn, I got it right and I didn't. Man. That kind of
I'm a true Star Wars fan. That's
all right. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. You can connect with Vacation Land online by visiting our website, vacationlandpodcast.com, our Facebook page, facebook.com/vacationlandpodcast, our Instagram, where we just gave away a copy of David's books, at VL Podcast, and our email, vacationlandpodcast@gmail.com. If you are listening, Ocean Frames, please DM us on Instagram and send us your contact info and your address, and we will get you your autographed copy.
Asked them to slide into your DMs. Wow, that's a thing.
Yeah. David's hip to the lingo. Mm. And as always, if you're listening to us on iTunes or watching us on YouTube, make sure to subscribe, rate, and comment. I would like to thank everyone for joining us on this episode and braving the OC Marathon to get here. Thank you, Brandis. Thank you, John. And thank you, David. We hope you've enjoyed the show, and we hope you've enjoyed your stay in Vacation Land. We'll see you in 2 weeks for our big summer spectacular. See you next time.